Moncrief on News Talk.
This time of the year, especially in Wexford, it's all about the strawberry. Somebody who knows all about that and the Opera House, we'll get to that, is Mert Murphy from Burra Valley Farm in Enniscorthy. Afternoon, Mert.
Afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Is this a mad busy time for you?
Yeah, you're very lucky to get me here for half an hour. Particularly when the sun comes out, it gets a bit mental, yeah.
Yeah, so are you harvesting them right now?
Yeah, we're right in smack in the middle of it, so we're actually replanting. We're replanting the whole farm at the moment.
Right.
So we supply duns nationwide, so we try to keep a continuation of supply.
Right, okay, so you're picking and then replanting.
Replanting as well, yeah.
And how much of the year does that go on for?
So we'll start producing probably, depending on weather, first week in May, right through to the middle of October.
Right, okay. Yeah. And how the weather this year, has it been your friend?
Shocking, no, it's been really, really bad, yeah. So when you hear farmers complaining about the weather, we're usually, we're fairly accurate on it, that it just created havoc this year, havoc.
And in which sense, that your harvest wasn't as...
Yeah, so everything was pushed back 3 or 4 weeks. Because of and light levels is really important. So if you want sweet fruit, you need to build up the Brix levels in strawberries, which is the sugar level. So you need light, which hasn't been there.
Yeah.
So what's happening is that now we're replanting 2 or 3 weeks too late. So we'll get into the autumn and we won't have enough light to get the maximum potential of crops.
Okay, and will that affect then the size of the yield next year?
Usually not, but it's you still have to pay for stuff. So you still have to pay for the plants, and you still have to pay for that. So you'd be looking for X amount of yield off a plant.
Yeah.
So it's not looking likely this year that we're going to meet it, you know.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. It happens. This is the business we're in. We get it right some years, and some years we don't. It's purely weather dependent.
God, you're fierce, relaxed about the whole thing.
Oh yeah, sure. I have grey hair that wasn't this morning, John.
and you still pick them by hand.
Yeah.
That'd be the case.
Yeah. Well, there's robots being designed at the moment. But they're colossal money, you know. But
yeah.
it's a labour is becoming more and more of an issue, really. Yeah. So we have to look at ways. We have to be innovative. We have to find better ways of producing.
Okay. Yeah. And why is labour becoming an issue?
It's labour intensive, and people, you know, a lot of the work ethic is not there anymore, and a lot of them are in college and education and stuff like that. So their hours are not there, you know.
Okay.
It's 24/7 when we produce, like so. If we have to pick on a Sunday, we have to pick on a Sunday. Yeah.
Right. So when you're picking, somebody who'd be picking for you is working fairly long hours.
Yeah, it depends on the weather. Like again, it's purely weather dependent. So we try and get it right. We usually start at 8 and we finish at 5 kind of thing, but it's purely weather dependent.
Yeah, is it hard in the back or hard in
the hands? it's all hydroponics, so it's all hanging. So it's all at eye level, yeah.
Okay, all right. And what he, because am I right in this, you had to change what you plant them in?
Yeah. So we use what's called coir, so it's coconut husk. And the reason for it is because of hydroponics, it has better drainage. So the plant needs drainage, particularly the variety that we grow is called Centenary.
Mm.
It likes lots and lots of drainage, which we don't get with peat. So it's better for the plant. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And was that a deliberate choice on your part, or weren't allowed to do the peat anymore?
It's a combination of both. I mean, we have to be considerate of the climate, you know, so we kind of try and find better ways. So, for example, the coy that we get, it comes in dehydrated, so there's less transport costs on it.
Okay.
So we're using less transport to bring it in.
All right.
So this morning we were at, before we came here, we were putting the bags out and we were putting the drips in, which we feed it. The bag was as light as a feather. And at the moment now it's watering. So when I go back, the bag will be fully...
Yeah. And so in the course of a year, how many strawberries would you produce?
Well, we grow from about 360,000 plants. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But how many would be on each plant?
Again, it depends on the time of the year. So, for example, what I'm planting now, I would be hoping for, you know, 400 grams, but I don't think we're going to hit this year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
And I assume, like, at that amount, you have to stack them very carefully because you don't want to be sending off. It's duns you mostly sell.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want bruised ones. Yeah. So that's why we grow the variety Centenary. It's a really marketable fruit. It's really, really, really shiny, perfectly shaped. And we stem pick so that the pickers don't actually handle the fruit.
Right.
To reduce the bruising.
And is that a thing? Like supermarkets want a certain size and a certain shape.
Yeah,
they don't want the ugly ones.
They do.
And all
I mean, in fairness, like we've been dealing with Dunns for a good few years, and I can't say a bad word about them. You know, they've been really, really.
Well,
supportive.
Obviously you can't. You're depending on them for the wrinkle. Dunns are great.
well, they are. Yeah. They've been brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and really, really supportive. You know, and they get it that it doesn't always happen. You know, we don't always get the perfect fruit.
Yeah.
We do try, and we kind of we know what they want as well in regards to what the consumer's looking for. Mm. So we try and get it right for them as much as we can.
And has the farm been like being generations in your family?
Yeah, yeah. So my grandfather grew strawberries first, and then my dad took it over, and he grew strawberries. So I don't know if you know about the cottage acre, it was called. So years and years ago, everyone used to have half acre of strawberries at the back of their cottage, and it produced for jam.
Yeah.
So in the 70s, they went to fresh fruit, what's called fresh fruit production. So my dad started it. And I was actually a psychiatric nurse for years.
Huh.
Around 2008, then I decided to do a career change and got involved in the family business. And my dad and mum are still actively involved in it. It's great. It keeps them young, keeps them fit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're nearly.
And I assume, though, it's the nature of the business and the way you produce the strawberries has changed over those generations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So we'd work with a good bit with Tagus. With Dr. Eamon Keogh, who does a lot of research. So, for example, the cocoa peat that we use would be part of that research where, you know, he did the testing on it. Because it would be too risky for us to go and make mad decisions.
Yeah.
You know, from a financial, at the end of the day, it's a business, so you have to pay back loans. So Tagus will do the research, and they will say, okay, this is what we should do with it, you know?
Yeah. Why are there so many strawberry growers in this part of the country?
Again, it comes back to the drainage. So when we used to produce in the soil, it's sandy soil. Mm. It's just really good drainage for the strawberry plants, yeah. And the light levels, the sunny southeast. The whole thing is light. So, you know, sun and light is what we need.
Yeah, that's not just a marketing slogan.
No.
It's actually true.
It's actually true, yeah. Yeah. So, but again, we changed our way for the last 2 years. Like I have a glass house that we planted in July, and then we got heat waves. And it got to, 1 year it got to 40 degrees in the glasshouse.
Oh.
And it just burnt everything, you know. So we changed. So we plant in January now.
Mm.
So to avoid
And is that climate change, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's real, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to, but again, we have to react to it, you know. We just have to change our mind on things.
Yeah. And there's actually no better position people than farmers of any sort.
Yeah, absolutely.
To notice those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And in the strawberry business now, are there many imports coming into the country?
No. I mean, in fairness to the Irish supermarkets, they are supportive of it. The problem is that sometimes with supply and demand, we can't meet it.
Yeah.
You know, the sales are so strong, really, that we don't produce enough, really, to meet it.
Okay, well, that's probably a good complaint.
That's a good thing,
yeah.
So we have to kind of just be careful of supply and chain demand, you know.
Yeah.
Make it work a little bit better.
Yeah. Now, Mert isn't a stranger to this part of the Opera House either, or the main stage either, because you've performed here regularly.
I have over the years, yeah. It's my downtime, so it gets me to switch off.
Yeah.
I've been on this stage a good few times, and I've been on the main stage a couple of times as well, yeah.
And is it drama?
Drama, I'll do anything, yeah.
That's the spirit.
I don't think much. I just kind of, my friends will probably hear this and they'll laugh, but I don't think too much about it. I just kind of go on the stage. And what happens, you know.
Okay, so you don't rehearse?
I do rehearse, yeah. I know, and my famous lines, I know the lines, but just not in the right order.
Yes. So you'd be out like picking strawberries and going, you know, reciting your lines and stuff.
Yeah. I have something on in the week after next, I think, in Uros, and I have the lines saved on my phone. So if I'm working on a farm, I'll have headphones like yourself, and my workers think I'm cracked because I'm answering myself.
And talking to yourself,
yeah.
What you talking about now? And you'd sing in some of these productions too?
Yeah, so I did we won, I give a shout out to Pat Murphy, we won an Ames Award there in Killarney about a month ago now. So we did a musical with Enniscorthy Musical Society called Happy Days. Do you remember Happy Days?
Oh yeah.
Fonz.
Yeah.
So myself and Pat were playing the Malachi Brothers. We were two Mexican wrestlers. Now, Sean, it was a sight. People had to get therapy after. Because we were wearing yoga pants and frilly red knickers.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
Okay. There's probably a picture of that someplace on the internet.
Is actually.
Yeah.
I guess reminded of it quite often. Yeah. So we won a comedy award, Best Comedians, which was, you know, it was great. But it was great for the Musical Society, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a man of many talents. Fair juice to you.
Ah, sure.
What's your favourite dessert?
Sean, I'm going to have to say a strawberry.
I mean, I know, and everybody here would understand.
Yeah.
But if someone served you up a bowl of strawberries, you know.
Ah, yeah, I mean, you can't beat it, can you? Strawberries and cream.
No.
I think, anyway.
Yeah.
Or strawberries and ice cream, huh?
Yeah. But would you routinely have that in your home?
Oh, yeah, I'd be constantly tasting the strawberries, yeah.
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 But like on a, you know, if you're out in a restaurant and they said.
Oh, yeah, I'd eat them, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay, that's commitment.
Yeah. My father's terrible, like.
Is he?
Oh, God, terrible, yeah. Yeah, eat them for breakfast, dinner, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I have relatives that come in, we call them the locusts. They come in and start eating the crops. You know what I mean?
They keep you good and regular now.
That's why I have my name in for that title. Yeah.
Good man, Mart Murphy, everybody. Thanks a million, Mart, for coming with us. Good man yourself.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.